This is RSBNB Update, episode 346, recorded February 3rd, 2012. What is RuneScape? Hello, everybody, and thank you for being with us for this episode of RSBNB Update. Trekkie is here.
Hi, guys.
And Kinkala is also here.
Hello, everyone.
Now, you were going to be on a couple of weeks ago, but something rather unfortunate happened to you. So you're here today to fulfill that promise.
Yes, I got sick.
And you got
getting
pregnant.
Sick sucks. According to Shane and Trekkie, I got pregnant, but no, I did not. I got sick, which hasn't happened to me in a very long time.
Okay.
Well, that's good. You're all better now, and well, the gunk is cleared out of your little things that make you move, so you can move faster now.
Yes, and I can talk properly.
That's good.
I still have my same old nasally voice that I always do, but otherwise I'm
fine. That's okay. That's a trademark. That's a good thing.
Yes. Nasally Canadian voices are a trademark on the show, I think.
Alrighty then. So, we're going to discuss RS updates this week, unsurprisingly, starting off with Troll Warzone, which is a whole rework of that entire area that used to be called Verthorpe and Taverley. So, it's that area when members first walk through the membership gate, you know, and they and they get this whole new world thrust upon them. And apparently JX felt that it was necessary to have a tutorial system similar to that of Lumbridge when a new member walks through the gate there.
Huh. I guess so. I don't know. I thought Taverley looked all right to me, but Verthorpe could have used a little bit of a rework, but
there's a lot more dead people around now.
That's well, yeah, because, you know, the Troll War Zone.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. The first thing when you walk in there, it's you're plagued by this recommendation system. So they give you recommendations on what you might like to do in the area. And then after you finish up, that will, of course, expand to other areas. We can assume you can click anywhere and you'll get a recommendation of something you might want to do. But right now it's only in that one area. So with that being said, they further this by making it so that each recommendation in this tutorial is actually a task in a Verthorpe Taverley task set, which strangely has no rewards. Trekkie, I know you and I were talking about that, and we said, you know, shouldn't there be a reward for doing all these tasks in this area?
Yeah, but there should be, because like some of them are really, you know, stupid, like make bronze arrowheads. Really, most of us who are 99 are not going to bother with it, but we're just doing it for a task because some of us are OCD. but the thing is, also is, if you're new, almost everything on the task on the list is more or less free anyway. When you talk to any of the stock. How do I say that again, Shane? Stall.
Okay, stall.
All these stall owners. They basically give you the items for free. So all you gotta do is like put in your belt and your tool belt, or chop a piece of wood and make a bronze arrows, or you know, custom sheep, something like that. And usually it's really straightforward.
Yeah. So did you do any of the tutorial there?
To be honest, I accidentally skipped it because I wanted to turn on the sounds to listen to the music and the audio. So I accidentally got rid of it before I had a chance.
Okay.
The,
yeah, I did a few, and I was there for a good hour or so, and I figure, you know, I don't really need to be doing this. I know how to do everything that this tutorial has mentioned, so I'm just going to turn this off now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do you think that would be the case of most new members that are just coming from free-to-play, though?
I don't think so.
I think it would be useful for members because it introduces you to all the member skills, so even Slayer there.
It's basically one stop for all members and some non-member things as well in there.
Yeah, Dungeoneering is there too. They have a boat that can take you to the Dungeoneering place.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, there is, by the bank.
Huh. So, well, then again, we'll just go from Alcahar anyway, and you know where Dungeoneering is anyway, so that's free to play.
Yep, or you could even use the ring, you know?
Yeah, but
so
if anything, then you should have a ship that goes to Ardonia.
Yes, that would be good, I think. I mean, just make that a whole into a charter ship network and make the whole charter ship thing able to go to Daemonheim as well, and problem solved. And then you're also not directly promoting the whole Daemonheim experience, which some people like, some people don't. So that way then it benefits everyone, mutually beneficial. Also, there's a bank now in Taverly, as we said with this. So
Very convenient.
Yes, very convenient, but why? I mean, there's two banks in Falador. There's one in the Warriors Guild, which is a few steps to the north, and then over the mountain there's one in Catherby. So it's like, and why do we need a bank here?
You also forget that there's two in Berthrump. Actually, one in Berthrump, two in Tyverly now. If you count the Rogue's Den.
Oh, right, the Rogue's Den too.
Forgot about that, didn't you?
Yeah. So can you tell me what they're doing with that, why they're adding so many banks, either of you, like that?
Because people are stupid and won't look around.
But there's a map.
See, people are lazy. That's the closest one.
But
I must be missing it here. Is there something wrong with having more banks in the game? Because I thought that was actually a good thing.
Well, if you look at the map now, everywhere you go, it's civilized. It's like the world is becoming overpopulated.
Technically, it's only that area.
Well, it's everywhere. I mean, you can't even walk from Falador to Varrock anymore without seeing little villages along the way. Like, I mean, where are the wide open spaces where there used to be in 2004? And what happened when there used to be only 6 teleports accessible by magic?
I think Shane's missing the good old days.
I think he is too. I think part of that is nostalgia factor, but other parts, you might have a valid point with that. But.
Well, the example, Star Trek Online. You can only bank it at Earth, K7, Deep Space Nine, and a couple other star bases, right? So why? And you have to move between those places. So why not have something similar like that on RS? I mean, that's how it used to be in the olden days.
So much for not talking about it until someone else mentions it, eh?
Well, I felt it was relevant here.
So. What happened to the good old days back in 2004?
What about 2004?
I don't know. The world seems smaller then because there were less places to go. So, I mean, as you expand the world, you need to have more things in it, I think. Right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you need to make the world bigger. Which hasn't happened in a long time, which is disappointing to me. There was a great episode back in 2010 called The Southern Continent. I invite everybody to go back and listen to it.
I agree with the whole. The whole thing is way too small. It seems like everything just crammed into a little 2x4. And one thing that's really drives me a little nuts is the whole river, the erosion thing that happened. How you have a little river that just really
overnight.
That's global warming. That's what happens when the dwarves start mining, and then the land collapses underneath it, and the tunnels collapse. From all the coal that they burn in order to fuel their stuff. Yeah, see, global warming is dwarf made.
No, well, the ice mountain and White Wolf Mountain is just nearby, and that's still frozen solid, is it not?
Melted a little, but you know the thing is that it's just, you know, you have a giant river that cuts straight through the center of it, and there's either go around it or you get the bridge underneath. Both of which are, you know, unnecessary. They should really just have one bridge or get rid of it altogether. It doesn't add any game. It just makes it inconvenient.
It just makes it look nicer. But Yeah. Anyways. All right. I think that's enough about that area regarding tutors and tasks. So basically, it's a microcosm of Lumbridge, except for members. And of course, there was also a graphical update, which is wreaking havoc on everyone's frames per second. On my gaming computer, I was getting 20 frames per second. So that's not good.
Can they fix that yet? They just fixed it?
No, not yet in that area, no.
Okay. So. Yeah, that place is really laggy. But, you know, if you're new, it actually is a really good way to fill up your toolkit, your tool belt, because basically everything is there for you to, one, steal or get for free.
Yeah, that is a good point.
You can fill up your toolkit right then and there. You don't have to go all the way around to find it. And it's everything you need to start one of the newer quests. It's all there anyway. Just spend 3 minutes just to do them and you're done.
And that quest is called Let Them Eat Pie.
You mean cake?
No, it says Let Them Eat Pie, actually. That's the name of it. What?
Why pie?
I don't know. Apparently, pies are very popular in other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. But
this is essentially a
quest where you need to poison this one guy by bringing him a maggoty pie, so that you can steal something from him. And the whole idea behind the quest is to get members into their first member's quest. So once again, with the whole tutorial system. This is just another part of it. So this actually translates into part of the tutorial right there. So it's a quick 5-minute quest. Basically, you need to go grab a few things and make this pie, and the guy eats it, and then you're able to steal what you need to steal from him. And you get a grand total of 150 thieving XP and 100 cooking XP.
Hey, 100 XP, man. That's, you know, that's like one level, man.
It's one level if you're level one.
Well, if you're new to members, you will be level one.
Yeah.
In thieving, at least.
Mm-hmm.
You also get a spice pouch, which adds a +10 healing to all food when carried. So, yeah. 1 old hit point, 10 life points. And 5 meat pies, too. Yum, yum.
Oh, somebody must be from Australia, then.
Why?
Meat pies.
Yeah, that's what I was getting on about. I mean, people in other parts of the world like pies like that, so. Yeah. Anyways, not much to say on that quest. It's a little 5-minute quest you can do, if your graphics will let you do it, that is. So we're hoping that'll be fixed next week. And it's also 1 quest point. So, you know, if you're the kind of person who keeps all your quests done, you might as well go check that out.
It takes you 5 minutes anyway, so. And if you want to wear the quest cape, you might as well do it. You have to do it anyway.
Yep.
All right.
So next up, quest reworks. With this whole area, they've reworked how some of these quests in that area work, including Wolf Whistle, Druidic Plateau, and Death Ritual. I mean, Druidic Ritual and Death Plateau.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've completed them before, you'll be able to complete them again. You'll get the rewards, but you won't get quest points. And it's worth also noting that Wolf Whistle and Druidic Ritual are no longer required for summoning and Herblore, respectively. Oh, and Death Plateau is no longer required for Smith and Claws.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's like once the Dragon Claws came out, nobody uses Rune Claws anymore.
Well, honestly, when Dragon Claws came out, everybody just went farming for it, and no one cared about the others.
Yep. So, Death Plateau, or Wolf Whistle. You did Wolf Whistle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Oh, well. I guess, he is dealing with his family member there. I will talk about Druidic Ritual. So, I don't know if anybody out there remembers Druidic Ritual from way back when they first became a member, but that was the quest that was required to start Herblore, and it would give you a bunch of Herblore XP to get going. But now you don't need to do that. You could have you could start Herb Lore a different way just by getting herbs and mixing things together. You don't need the knowledge from that quest. But you can still do the Druidic Ritual quest, and you still get the same amount of XP. So the XP you get will put you up to level 3 like it did before. You also get the same amount of Eye of Newt and Guam Leafs, so you can make the potions that were there before. So
I liked having it as a requirement, actually, to start the skills, because it gave you a good introduction to it. But I guess now it's just optional, then people might just get started into it and not really know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, you can do a skill, but you can also do a skill by knowing what the skill is actually about, if you get where I'm going. So, in a way, what you say, it was nice there to have that introduction, but it's not particularly needed. So, it's a matter of personal opinion.
Again, if you already know what you're doing, then that way you can skip it and not have to do the quest to just to do the skill that you want. If you're not too much of a quester.
Same thing with smithing claws.
Well, the other thing too with the wolf whistle and druidic ritual is that most people don't have the game tell them how to do it. Usually, they just go online and look it up somewhere. It's like, do this,
yeah,
and do
that's
this,
true.
Have this. But I think it might be also prudent to know that all the stuff is here too. You can buy it from pickup sticks and all the herb lore, most of the herb lore equipment from here.
Guam leaves are here. Aya roots are here. Vial and stuff from the guy, and then you just need to go collect the water, the wormwood, and whatever the herb was. I forget what it was, but
Guam
it's
leaf.
All around that same. No, not Guam leaf. It's already all there, so everything is contained in this area. And Wolf Whistle. Did you notice with Wolf Whistle you no longer need to run to Caniphus to get the meat?
Yeah, you don't have to get wolf meat anymore. It's given to you now. I actually wrote a short quest on it too. So it's on the forum if you want to take a look.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Also, a good reason for doing a Wolf Whistle again, you get 275 free gold charms.
Ooh. That's a good deal.
Yeah. For about 10 minutes, you get 250. That's better than going slaying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Now,
so
I must admit, though, I bet somebody figured out a way to repeat it on one character.
But really, who would want to spend the time making gold charmed familiars? I mean, their XP
Archer
is
Toads.
So low. Yeah, but their XP is so low compared to everything else.
Well, they are the most common one. So you use what you have.
Anything you want to say about Wolf Whistle before we can move on to this cute little troll pet here?
Trolls eat chicken.
Trolls eat lots of stuff, actually.
Yeah, exactly. As we'll talk about the little baby that we found.
Isn't that because trolls are named after the first thing that they try to eat or something?
Yeah. Yep. Including my arm.
Yeah. Or dad. Or dad.
All right, so moving on next. The troll baby. Baby troll pet. And so, Shane, you have more experience than this. I haven't gotten it yet.
Well, let's just say that this is a little pet that runs around behind you and looks annoying or cute, depending on how you want to look at it. But suffice to say, if you feed it an item, you will not get that item back, and that's the name it will be on the ground. So you could have beer, for example. Somebody had nuts. I heard rumors of somebody feeding theirs a blue party hat or a Christmas cracker.
Jeez.
Which probably drove the price back up a little bit. Anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're already at max, so it really doesn't matter if a few of them disappear from the game, but you know.
But the other thing is also, I remember someone saying they fed the abyssal whip to it and it ran around like Falador or something. People were like, where the hell is the whip? I just saw the whip. I was talking to my friend. My friend said, one of my RS friends said someone was doing it. And I was like, that's mean.
Yeah, so it's one of these little kind of things that JX likes to slip in that are little funny jokes like that. And, you know, I guess you could say if you're running around with this pet behind you, you're constantly trolling people.
Oh, God. Not them, what? Too.
Get it? What? Trolling people? Ha, 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 ha. Troll babies. Trolling. Never mind.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Trolling is bad. But, you know, it's fun to see these kind of little things like this come out. And you kind of wonder what kind of people are working at Jagex to come up with this. Because it's an absolutely ingenious idea. And, I mean, there's time to make a little pet like this? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's why we haven't seen any updates in the past couple weeks. They're trying to get that baby, the troll thing, to work out.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me.
Well, to be fair, the troll pet was approved in July 2011.
Yeah, see, it took them almost more than 6 months to get it out. That's why we have any updates.
Well, we're going to get to some updates in February in just a minute here, but...
Did you also realize it looks like a grape Pikmin? With a little leaf that's on top of his head?
No, I did not.
It kind of walks like one, too.
I never played Pikmin.
I wonder how many people actually know what that is. That's the main question. That was so long ago.
I know what Pikmin is. I've never actually played it, though.
Nor did I.
Okay. Well, that's safe, then. Let's move on to some tweaks and fixes that came with this week. Just stop me if any of you guys want to talk about any of these. First up, some quest starting zones, including Witch's House and Grim Tales, have been moved to fit in with the rework of Berthorpe and Taverly. Next up, melee armor, up to including steel, including square shields and kite shields. Leather armor in both blue and black wizard robes have been given a graphical overhaul. So this is the... These are the images we saw coming out of RuneFest for the player kit. So I don't know if either of you guys have seen these, but what do you think?
I think the steel armor looks better. It actually looks a little more realistic than just... you know, three pieces of metal stuck together.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see when the higher level ones come out, because right now you can go to the mercenary camp north of Falador there and see what they look like. And the dragon armor looks really good. So I highly suggest everybody head on over to north of Falador there and see how it looks if you haven't already done that.
And the wizard's robes have done it, too.
Hmm. Yeah, the wizard's robes. My wizard boots kind of look funny now, but, you know, it was only a matter of time before they'd update those, because those boots have looked like that since RS2 came out. Also, now this is something people were yelling about also when I was running through the area there. There's now an option to travel to Berthorpe through your home teleport spell. See, this is what I was going on about with the banks. Like, why is the game being intentionally made easy like this? Wasn't home teleport supposed to be the either Lumbridge, Edgeville, or Lunar Island kind of teleport thing?
Well, remember before it used to be only every, what, hour or 30 minutes, and then they made it whenever, how many times you want.
Yeah, so I don't know. I can't say I agree with that issue, just like I don't agree with the bank and everything, but that's just me. I don't know what the rest of the listener base out there would think.
Yes. Join a credit union, Shane. It's better. or hide your money under the pillow under the pillow of your, or under
Did
your
you
mattress.
Did you say I should create a union?
Credit union. Join a credit union.
No. I want to do that.
The banks are stealing our money.
Yes. Yes. So
the 1% is keeping the money. We must rise up.
Yeah, rising up, surely encouraging people to rise up when there's no real problem, that certainly does stuff for you, eh?
Spoken like a true conservative. How did we get straight to politics from our SM tapes?
I don't know, that was you.
Usually that doesn't happen until questions.
But anyways, graphical improvements to quest journals and task interfaces. I actually like these graphical changes, but the thing I still need to stress to JX is to use your own custom font.
Use one font. Just one.
Yes, use one font. Three times? Use one font. Use one font. There you go, that's three times. Now,
there are a few things in here that are kind of funny, like the clan battlemaster has realized that it's no longer Christmas and has hence put his Santa hat away.
Yeah. Also, the Desperado player title is now available from the loyalty store for a discounted set of 7,500 loyalty points for 2 weeks.
Don't have. I don't think I have that much.
Oh, I do, but I don't want to buy titles. I don't like the titles. My only favorite title is the Firewatch title.
I want my lord, but I got sir, so that's good enough.
You were knighted by the queen?
Yeah, Queen of Rock.
Oh, okay. Also, yeah. Along with this, there's still the hideous scroll bar differences. There's still three types of scroll bars in the game. That's very painful when I look at that. So, Jagex, if you're listening, it would be nice to get some consistency on the scroll bar front. I don't care which one you use, but just use the same one across all your interfaces. Thank you.
Shane, if they actually Slayer Monster. If they ever actually listen to us. Okay, fine. Oh, forget it.
Well, you know, sometimes there's been some strange coincidences that we talked about, and later on they happen, so I'm not ruling anything out at this point. But Slayer Monster respawn rates have been increased slightly to be closer to the respawn rate prior to Bot Nuke Day. Once again, they increased those.
That's actually helpful in the Slayer dungeon.
Yes, because, you know, when you go slaying, it's really annoying when you're slaying and you're just waiting there for the next thing to respawn rather than just actually doing what you're supposed to be there for. So that is a good thing. Another good thing is that all bank booths are now usable with a left-click bank option. How many years did that take?
That was much needed.
That's been needed since RuneScape Classic, actually.
Actually, back in RuneScape Classic, you had to click on a banker, go up, wait for its dialogue to finish, click on, I'd like to use my bank, then wait for him to say, of course, sir.
I know.
And if somebody else goes talking to it first, you have to wait your damn turn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so this is much overdue.
To be honest, I keep forgetting. I keep right-clicking on the banks.
Me too. Ooh, wow. Me too. So, is there anything else in the patch notes you guys want to highlight?
Let's see.
Blue and black skirts are now renamed to the Wizard's Robe and the Black Robe. Now they have magic and defense bonus.
Oh, that's good.
That's pretty good because...
Yes, thank you.
Now they actually have defense and attacking bonuses, so now they look right because I remember before... You just use like the monk's robe bottom because it actually has a bonus, whereas the ones that are colorly similar don't. So now you could actually wear the full blue or black uniform, and
I have a confession
right
to make.
And that has a bonus.
That's my magic gear for when I'm not doing combat magic.
Yeah, just the normal old stuff. That was the combat magic gear for free to play. Probably still is. So that's a good update, I think.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, shall we move on to behind the scenes?
Okay. I think we shall.
All right. Dominion Tower, new boss and improvements. So this is the boss that was designed, voted on at RuneFest. So it's called Sunfreet. So that'll be out later this month. Also including the Dominion Tower item exchange, so you can exchange those power-ups and whatnot that you're not using for They say XP book, so that's a good thing. Goliath Swift and Spellcaster gloves improvements. You'll be able to own multiple pairs of gloves and will also make them last a bit longer. You shouldn't find yourself running to the tower when you want to be fighting or finishing off a Slayer task. And finally, they increase the XP rates in Dominion Tower. They said the reason isn't for getting XP there, but they felt it wasn't competitive enough. So that's good on them, I think. That's going to be a welcome update. I really like the Dominion Tower update from last year.
I thought you said it had no longevity.
Well, I mean, I liked it personally, but yes, probably it has no longevity. I mean, people who are already there are only there to get the power-ups and items they want, then after that, they just leave, right? So, I mean, it doesn't have the longevity of Castle Wars or something. But next up in behind the scenes, Potion Flask. This is something each of you and I are very excited about. So basically, they say that rather than having multiple vials of a potion, you'll be able to combine them into one flask. They don't say how many you'll be able to combine into one, but you will need level 81 mining and 89 crafting to make the flask. They'll not be tradable and will hold up to 60 canted doses of a potion of your choice, meaning you can take more doses of a potion for those long training trips and boss fights. The flask will shatter once its contents are emptied.
Each player will be able
to mine a maximum of 50 red sandstone per day.
You know what that is?
No.
I guess it's to make flask.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what the red sandstone is.
I don't know, but it's going to be something to do with Ooglog, this entire thing. So that's why I'm getting 86 crafting, so I can pot up to 89 to make these things.
Oh, can you assist for them?
No, crafting potion. I don't know if you'll be able to assist.
I'm saying, can you assist other people to make the flask?
I don't know. I'm assuming you will be able to, but who knows with Jagex, right? I'm looking forward to that one. So that's two of them so far I'm looking forward to. Carnival time for Freed members. Throughout many of the parts of the real world, it's cold, wet, and windy right now, with gloves and scarves aplenty. However, in other parts of the world, it's carnival season. What better way to warm up than by donning a new carnival headdress soon to be available at an in-game toy store near you?
Well, we couldn't be looking forward to all of the new behind-the-scenes things, cause should we?
It's Carnival! Let's go to Brazil.
Yeah.
Don't they do carnivals there?
Rio de Janeiro. That's where the carnival, like...
Epic face palm.
Ugh.
And don't they do them in Mexico, too?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think
they do them everywhere. They do them in Venice, India, all across Europe.
Okay, then.
Graphical rework of the Tzar. So everything inside Tzar City is getting a rework. So it's going to be a major update here. I guess that's a good thing. What do you guys think?
Let's see how they look first.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't need a bunch of Pokemon running around. Slugma? Was it? That was one of them. It's been so long.
Magmatite?
No. Slugma and Magcargo and Magmar and all of those fiery.
Oh, Pokemon. Yes, Magmar, that's it.
Magnemite is an electric magnet looking thing.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What you're referring to.
Okay. Cool, I think it's safe to say every single person in the world who grew up in the 90s know everyone, all 100, maybe 251 Pokemon. Anything
above
that?
No, I just know the original 150.
Anything other than that, we're like, huh?
Yeah. I know the original, like, 150 plus the Johto ones, and then
yeah, that's
it, because
then.
I didn't watch past that because they got rid of too many people and it just became like a boring show. But
it
anyway,
became a show where this guy moves along and he picks up friends along the way and drops them off, like
pretty much
hitchhikers on an adventure.
Yeah, he that's kind of it. He captures these new things and then he sends them back to the laboratory, never to be seen again. You know,
they come back.
Really, when you think about it, it's a very depressing show.
Anyways, yeah, it's behind the scenes, the Elder Kiln quest.
Told you we'd go off topic.
Yeah, Pokemon. So, the Elder Kiln. This is a Tazar City quest. They say the lava is cooling Tazar City and birthing pools of full Tazar that are born without memories. The ancestral wisdom of the Tazar is being lost and instead passed from Tazar to child, causing an upheaval that threatens the race most opposed to change. Only an ancient power, the Elder Kiln, can offer an answer, but it has not been visited by the Tazar since the world was formed. Reveal the secrets behind Tokel and engage with a storyline that satisfies both lore and combat-craving players among us. Quest will have a requirement of 75 magic, 60 agility, and 41 mining. You also fight monsters of about level 300. Rewards for completing the quest will include XP, a new ring that increases combat damage when engaging in sport combat with creatures of the Tazar City, and a brand new title. Last but no means least, you will gain access to the Fight Kiln minigame. Alright, so now comes the Fight Kiln minigame. So this is essentially Fight Caves plus plus. So this is a new fire cape, which will give you plus 8 strength bonus on it. It's going to be very hard. They say players with any combat stats lower than 90 will find progress almost impossible. You'll need all the overloads, curses, potion flasks, mega food, and top-end combat gear you can muster.
How would you feel about fighting two Jets at the same time?
Dun, yeah, dun, I don't know, because you'd need to sacrifice your fire cape before going through the door. So I think we're going to have to get somebody on the show who is going to do that week.
Oh, you know what? I don't think anyone's going to be doing that for a while. Unless
Are you
going to
do it?
Hell no. Took me forever to kill a Jet. I'm not doing it again. I know for a fact I'll die on wave 3 or something. So I'm not going to
need like max combat stats, like all of them.
Yeah, well, that's what they say, and you know, it's really not conducive to do these kinds of games with the game architecture in place, where you need to wait for a server response to eat or turn a prayer on. That's something that's really been annoying me lately, and that's actually going to be the topic of my Informer article this month from a technical standpoint. So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, and listen to this one. Players with any combat stats lower than 90 will find progress almost impossible, and you'll need all the overloads, curses, and potion flask. So basically, unless you are 138 with like 10 party hats ready to sell and buy stuff, you're on your own.
Well, it's a good time for me to get in my Herblore business and start farming those toad flax like crazy, because I assume people are going to be needing Saradomin brews. So, I'm happy about these updates because I stand to make a profit somehow.
See, early bird bonus. Next one. To encourage you to give our new updates a go, we're offering a pretty handy skill boost to those who master the content within 2 weeks of launch. Get double XP for completing the quest, another 70,000 if you reach the wave 30 of the Fight Kilns. Early bird special. Yeah, Shane.
I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
2 weeks? Seriously? Only 2 weeks? Odds are 95% of people will die within the first week. The rest of like the 90% of that 95 will be looking at YouTube videos and looking at guides all over trying to figure out how to defeat the boss. Then like 50% may actually beat the damn thing. The other 50% of that 90% is probably like, oh, F it. Well, that's, well, they already said it is a master level thing. It is a master level quest, and you know you're supposed to have, you know, 90 plus stats, which let's face it, Shane.
No, the mini game is different than the quest.
Yeah, but that's basically the same idea. You know, you're basically going to be doing the mini game with it anyway. You're basically doing like a mini version of the mini game. That's a mouthful. So, you know, unless Shane, I know you have 95 prayer, but I don't have it yet, and my range and my range is still only level 80, and it's gonna be tough. I just don't see that many people doing it unless you're already 138, and if you're 138, you probably don't care too much about it anyway.
But what do you think about the double XP? Like, is that a good thing, or is that just more promotion of this content to get people doing it and not forget about it for 2 weeks and keep them there after?
Well, but then again, we are supposed to have another double XP weekend in, what, March or May? So it really doesn't...
March, assumably, but...
So I don't know how long the double XP would last. You know, for all I know, it could be like one skill for 10 minutes or something, for all we know.
It's just a double XP on the reward. So rather than getting so you get double XP on the reward from the quest, and an extra 70,000 XP if you complete the mini game before the 2 week time period is up.
Well, as I said, we'll probably end up dying so many times, and the top 5% will figure out how to do it. The top 1% will post a YouTube video and be the greatest hit of all time for about a week.
Just another way that JackX is trying to cater to the top 1%.
Indeed.
Oh, is that because that episode you were on last was named Occupy RuneScape?
Yes. I was just making a joke. I guess it only works once. No, but this will be good because it'll be something really, really high level combat. And I think it'll be fun to see how many people can get through it.
Yeah, the game needs it, I think. And, you know, I'm sure JagX will be laughing and stuff, because when the Clan Citadels first came out, I made a clan battlefield with a minefield in the middle, and I was laughing so hard when people were running through it and hitting the mines and exploding themselves.
Wow, Shane, really? But the other thing that I'm just thinking of, I just don't see that many people beating it the first time, because nobody really knows what to expect. And we'll see what happens. I completely lost my train of thought. Sorry, Shane. I failed
you. Yeah, it would be nice to have metrics on that from JagX's end, but I think we beat this to death and we should focus on it when it comes out. So I'm willing to move on to questions now.
Cool. We've got
two audio questions this week. This first one is... a good one for Trekkie. The second one is also good too. So, first one is from Earth.
Dear Shane, Klube, and Trekkie, what is your favorite phrase from Team Fortress 2? Ours is, well, I think you know what ours is. Stab, stab, stab. Love, Earth, and Thomas.
Stab, stab, stab.
Shane?
Yes? Shane?
Can we ban Earth from Team Fortress 2? Can we? No. Can you link me to his Steam page so I can post nasty comments on it?
No, but I want to get on track here. Kola, what's your favorite sound in TF2?
I don't know. There's so many good quotes in the game, to be honest, but the one that I like the best is from the Demo Man, and it's at the very end of the Meet the Demo Man video, and it's also one that he says in game. It's the one where he goes, "Oh, they're gonna have to glue you back together in hell I like that one the best, to be honest. It's the funniest.
Okay. Trekkie?
It's the sound that Pyro makes when he's burning two spies to try to stab him in the back.
Oh, okay. The Pyro.
Mine is the medic when he's on fire and he's trying to get everybody to notice him.
Fire!
Yeah, everybody, I am on fire!
Fire! Fire! Fire! Everybody, I am on fire!
Oh, that's such a good game, isn't it?
I haven't touched it in a while, which is sad.
Let's see what Steam says was the last time. The summer of last year.
Oh, that's not good, is it?
No. That's the last time I played TF2. Probably a lot has happened since then.
All right, so Shane, what's your favorite quote?
I already said, when the medic is trying to get everyone to notice he's on fire.
Okay. Wanted to double check.
Yes. So, thank you, Earth and Thomas. All right, next one is from GT1551.
Hello, this is GT1551 here once again. And this is my week's question or questions. First of all, what do you personally think about the Aegis Aura? You know, the one that costs 87,000 loyalty points or something. How long do you think it will be before anyone gets it? And do you think it's worth it? Secondly, what do you think about the ability of being able to do the troll invasion on the last day of a month and followed right away on the first day of a month? I honestly found this kind of outrageous, and please voice your own opinion on this. Thanks for listening to my question.
All right, so a bit of background information for listeners who might not be familiar with this specific aura. It costs 84,000 points, as GT1551 said. It lasts for 30 minutes and has a recharge time of 5 hours. It blocks up to 10% of damage you take based on your defense level. And with 84,000 points, I personally think it's a waste of money. Mm-hmm. It's 10% damage. If you get hit, say, a 300, that only takes away 30 damage, which really isn't a lot in the big scheme of things, you know?
you might as well use the other auras to help you with
exactly,
the prayer.
Exactly. So I think it's a waste of money, and I prefer my Reverence Aura, which makes the prayer last longer and makes the things drain slower and makes the prayer potions last longer.
Restore
boosted effect. Yes. Oh, yes, that's right. That's what it does. So I prefer over this and just prefer to do it that way.
Well, I'm just thinking in the years to come when if people are still playing this game, they may end up like having so many points they don't know what to do with it and just spend it on that one anyway. But that's many, many years to come.
Yeah. And as for when somebody will get it, I think somebody will probably, depending on if they've been saving up points, I think that would put them around April or May that they could get it, assuming if they just bought nothing with their loyalty points along the way.
Oui.
So April or May of this coming year when they'd be able to afford it, assuming they were just saving up and didn't buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cola, that's one thing that came out since you were a member, is that you can buy points, you can buy stuff now from a little store. And they have little boosted stats and whatnot. And the points are given to you for based on how long you subscribe to the game for.
Well, that was the loyalty bonus stuff. Yeah. Okay. Alright, I get it now.
Yes. And in regards to Troll Invasion, being able to play two consecutive days, I think that's fine. I mean, that's defined as a month for Jagex, so, I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, you get the same amount of XP in a month, and everybody can do it that way, so I don't see why it's a problem, because you can just go there 2 days in a row and get that XP.
And if you also think about it, penguins reset every Tuesday, so you can literally do it if you're in the U.S. You can do literally do it before it changes, and then like wait 3 hours and do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's still considered once a week. So
I mean, the only other alternative really is to have it on a timer. You know, like you've collected all of these, now you have to wait like 7 days before you can do it again. You know.
Yeah, I think that'd be really annoying to do. Actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Like to keep that, keep track of that and stuff. So
that's like Tears of Gothix.
Yes, that's right. That's how that does it.
So. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, GT1551. Who wants to read the first question?
Oh, I'll do it. Okay. All right. This question is from the German. Hello, friends. I am back from in Deutschland and have new questions. That sucked. Can't do it. You just cannot do a German accent. Okay, seeking help with this question. What do you do with grinding XP in RuneScape? I have watched more episodes of my Leben in Ack in Big Bang Theory, and I would care to admit I have exhausted my reserves. Is Star Trek good for a while playing RuneScape, or will I get distracted? My mining in Living Rock Caverns requires some attention, so nothing too involved. Danke, the German.
Yes, Star Trek is good for while playing RuneScape.
Yes, there's every episode is 40 minutes. If you watch, Enterprise, Next Generation, the old one, Voyager, and DS9, that's 5 different shows. Each show has roughly 100 so episodes, unless you count DS, except for ENT and the original. You're guaranteed roughly 500 hours of Star Trek goodness.
I don't know. I think it's actually better to watch a show that you've either watched before and you'd like to watch it again, and therefore you don't need to look at it as much, you know. For something like Star Trek, it's good to focus on what the show is about rather than just having it in the background if you've never seen it before. Having like a sitcom or something like that, or like Seinfeld or The Simpsons on in the background is probably better than having some in-depth show that you'd actually want to pay attention to.
But the other thing is
that's a good point.
The other thing is also remember that all those other shows that you mentioned are only 20 minutes long. That's why he exhausted them so quickly. 1 hour of RS equates to about 3 episodes. And let's face it, there's only so many episodes in one season. Which is why I tell you this though, when during the first or second double XP weekend, I literally went onto Hulu and save all the Andromeda episodes, and I just started watching them like crazy. So I spent like one weekend just doing nothing but agility training and watching Andromeda.
Yeah, but the thing is that there are so many shows out there that it really doesn't matter how long the episodes are.
But the thing
you can
is,
literally watch as many TV shows out there as you want, and you can find new ones that you wouldn't have known about before that way.
What? You need to watch 24. That's a good one.
No. But the other thing is also, remember, Cool Lab, is that we have this first world problem of we have hard drives full of episodes and we have nothing to watch.
That's why you hook up an external one.
Same thing, man.
But now,
you can only copy so many DVDs.
Oh, that's true.
Grinding in RuneScape is a real pain, and you know it's one thing I've pledged I don't want to do ever again is grind a scale to 99 from 80 or something. That's just too boring, and I mean it's you get there where you're going, but Like, what's the point, really, when the skill is not that useful at level 99?
Hey, so, Kula.
I want to try and avoid that from now on.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Kula, you want to hear a little sad story about me when I was getting 99 crafting?
Sure.
While I was doing it, I watched every single original episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! On Hulu. Every single one. From the very first one when Yami first came out all the way to he leaving this mortal realm. I was like, oh, mine does well. Quick, Hulu got it. All right, next.
I remember when I was trying to grind and I was doing random things and I'm like, oh, this is kind of boring, like wood cutting or fire making or something like that. I'm like, okay, might as well watch some shows. So I ended up watching like most of the episodes of South Park, like That 70s Show and Pokemon and all of those other crazy shows.
Original Pokemon had morals and, you know, a decent storyline.
Yeah, but I mean, I never would have seen them, you know, if I wasn't grinding in RuneScape. So, I mean, I would have never had the time otherwise if I wasn't doing it.
You know,
at the same time,
should
you know?
Partner with a TV company to advertise TV shows like this.
They could. You could have like.
But I don't know. I think most people don't have the monitor screen to do it.
Yeah, that is true.
I've got a 15.4-inch laptop screen, and I just resized them down, so it all worked. So
yeah, but I don't know if people would like to do that. But, hey, man, if Jackass would do that, can you imagine what people would be watching?
They'd have a pretty good chance there to shape their community into what they wanted.
Oh, and you know the best part is that they can sell all the video information back to the TV company, and they can use that information to make more crappy TV shows. Oh my god, that's so exciting!
Oh, I you know, just tonight, or hope that the right people are listening to this Trekkie, but I think it's time to move on. So, thank you, Jeremy.
Considering RuneScape's target demographic, that might be actually kind of dangerous.
Oh boy, you're right. I wonder how many people who play RuneScape watch Glee.
Oh god. Shane. No.
I know.
That is just
a horrible show.
That is the same thing as mentioning, I wonder if anybody listens to Justin Bieber as they're playing RuneScape.
I'm sure Shane has on occasion, not by choice, though.
Yeah, by accident once or twice.
Anyway, just sad that they added him into the movie, into the Karate Kid movie.
Next question is from J. Meissen A. Dear hosts, I've taken the winter survey as requested on the last episode. Can you explain how you use the results? How many responses have you received? And will you be sharing the results? And any suggestions received in a future podcast? Thank you, J. Meissen A. Well, in regards to the second two questions there, how many responses, I don't know because I haven't checked it yet. And will you be sharing the results? We will not be sharing detailed results, but general kind of sentiments from it will work their way into the show somehow. So it'll all depend on what gets sent in. But how are we going to use those results? I guess I'm the one that knows about this, right?
Yeah.
Well, basically, what we're going to do is there's a few questions on there, and the whole idea was to determine our demographic in relation to the RuneScape demographic, as well as what do you feel about RSBNB update. Because, say, for instance, if a good majority of our players are past level 120 combat, it doesn't make sense for us to constantly be talking about lower level combat training methods when a question comes in, unless specifically asked about it. Or, for example, let's say there's a bigger update that comes out. What kind of coverage do we give this? Do we give coverage that would be interesting to a lower level person, or do we give coverage that would be interesting to a higher level person? So it's all an effort to gauge demographics of the show. And, you know, it's been a while since we've done one, and it's always good to know what the demographics are of this podcast. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point of it, really.
Because ultimately, we want to talk about what you guys want to hear, mostly.
Yes.
But also what we want to talk about, too.
Yeah, except for a few things that need to be slipped in here and there. But Link to the survey can be found on update.rsbnb.com for those of you guys who have not done it, and we would appreciate you doing it.
Cool.
Okay, next one for Kala.
All right, this question is from Bonsai99. Dear Sinister Shane, Crazy Kula, and Troublesome Trekkie, how would you describe your parents? And when it comes to computers, are your parents tech noobs, average, or geeks? Mine are, well, especially my dad, he's an ultimate tech noob. Can't even figure out how to turn on the dishwasher, let alone the TV or the computer.
Wow.
As for my mom, she's more average. She still needs help here and there, and I, at least she's open to my suggestions when I let her know what's, you know, what she should be doing, as opposed to, you know, just sticking with Internet Explorer and Norton Antivirus and all
those other things. Hey, remember our visit in the summer when we were talking about this?
Yeah.
And my mom told you about her screenshot thing and
yeah,
with the Flash or whatever. I don't know. Do you want to tell the story?
No, I think you should, actually. I don't remember that quite well.
Well, my dad is the tech noob, like Kola said his dad is, too. My mom is average, like his is. But as you guys probably remember, last summer I met up with him, and they were talking about what I do for tech support and everything. And I think she told you about taking a screenshot or something, or of a Flash website, or she wanted to save a copy of it, and I said, no, you can't do that. And then you mentioned, I think, to take a screenshot of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to save a copy, it's, to me, that's different than taking a screenshot of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's all about the terminology, but you kind of have to remember that tech noobs use different terminology than us, you know?
Yeah, so
it's not as precise.
Yeah, so that's where everything fits in here. And I just want to say that the iPad has been excellent in terms of both of them for getting them more involved in media and the internet stuff. And, I mean, previously my dad didn't even do much with a computer or anything like that. But with the iPad, that's essentially become his own little personal computer, and he uses it for everything from looking up space facts to the current hockey scores, where his team is not doing very well.
They did pretty darn well last night, though, that's for sure.
Hockey sucks.
One of their players
said they lost.
Last night? No, they did not. They beat Chicago, and they beat them good. One of their players got 8 points in a game, which is tying a record set by Gretzky, for crying out loud. So that's pretty darn good. Oh, wait, I forgot. Okay. He's a Canadiens fan, not an Oilers fan. The Oilers did well last night. Montreal didn't.
Yes. Yes, there you go. There you go.
Oh.
There you go.
Brain cramp.
Okay, Trekkie, your turn.
Oh, my dad is on the same scale as Kula's dad. He can't even figure out how to put the casing on the phone without my help.
Oh, yes.
What is it? My mom is okay. But she still needs trouble. Kind of like Kula. So yeah, Kula, yeah. Your parents and my parents are exactly alike. I bet you they're clones somehow.
Oh yeah. It's funny because in some cases they're like, you know what, I know you can do this if you learned how and you watched me, but no, they just want me to do it anyways, like fixing the answering machine when the power goes out, or, you know, fixing the clocks or whatever. I mean, I could show them how to do it, and it's pretty simple. I know they could do it, but they want me to do it anyways because I'm so much faster and better at it, so go figure, they don't want to learn.
My dad's gotten so many viruses on his computer just from watching, trying to stream a bunch of Chinese movies.
He needs a Mac. This.
No.
Or an iPad.
No. Won't work with Mac.
Okay. So there's some insight there into what our lives are like on a daily basis.
So, in conclusion, our mums are better at technology than our dads, which is kind of interesting.
Well, my mom is forced to use it, and so she has to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, and I mean, it's something everybody should be able to pick up, and it's not their fault if they can't pick it up. It's a result of a bad design, and that's one of the reasons why I think the iPad is so instrumental in bringing technology to older folks like that. I mean, why give them this huge, complicated mess of a thing we call a computer that's been around since the 80s when they can have this thing that's an iPad that a three-year-old can use?
You're just really pushing the advertising on this iPad thing.
Well, no, that and tablets in general. But, you know, that kind of thing.
I don't know. The computer's not really that difficult to navigate once you figure out how to type on a keyboard.
That's true, but it's a barrier to entry, right? And if you think about it, these keyboards and mice we're using were invented in the 1960s. You think we'd have something better by now?
Maybe nodes that go directly into our brains that we can do things with our minds.
Yeah, I want that. To control people too, but that's a topic for another day. All right, next question. Kalil, you want to read it?
Sure. This question is from Just Era. Hello, Kula, Trekkie, and Shane. Let's take a trip down memory lane and bring back the unforgettable day that was the Falador Massacre. I was just wondering what your thoughts, emotions, and reactions were to that day, as well as any other memorable things in Jagex's past. For example, the duplication glitch or the pay-to-PK riots. Thanks for the show, as always. Just Era.
The pay-to-PK riots were really childish.
What was that one again?
When the wilderness and free trade were removed.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But on that same note, we're 1 year ago this week that wilderness and free trade came back.
God, I still remember Bounty Hunter and how terrible it was.
God. They really did it, did they?
They messed that one up.
Anyway,
the Falador Massacre.
That was after Construction came out. It was on 6606, so June 6th, 2006. Day of the Devil, apparently.
God, was it ever...
What a coincidence.
Was it that long ago already? I mean, jeez.
We're old, Kula. Get used to it.
Still, that's 5.5 years ago. It's a very long time.
Yeah, so essentially, for anybody who doesn't know what this was, there was a glitch in the construction system which allowed somebody to get killed inside a house and spawn outside. And when they spawned outside the house, they were able to attack people in a safe area, Falador, and surrounding areas. Because previously, back then, you could only do that in the wilderness.
And of course...
So there's a whole video of this and everything. There were multiple people doing it, and, I mean, people lost party hats and all other kinds of rares and stuff. So it was a big deal.
I also believe that this was because somebody got 99 crafting construction for the very first time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so I think he was throwing a little party, and then he kicked everybody out, and it was like, time to go. But to be fair, some people were doing before was that they would fight each other inside the house, and then right before they're about to die from poison or something, kick them out. And of course, at that time, your HP did not reset, so you died basically outside and lose all your stuff. And with that being said, though, I think that should have been like a warning sign to fix some of this stuff beforehand. And also remember when the Castle War came out, people could, from inside the Castle War, could fight the people outside. And they were killing people with party hats at the portal, at the Zamorak portal.
Yeah, that's one. And with the Falador Massacre, they actually had to shut the server down for that, I think. One of the few times they actually did that.
And, you know, the thing is that I kind of disliked it was, I remember when they first came out, they banned the guy, obviously, within that week. But there was an article on him from one of the fan sites, can't remember which one it was, basically kind of like gloating how he did it and like, oh my God, I always wanted to do this. Why did you do it? Oh, I was just having fun. It was just so cool. I just wanted to show something new. I was like, what?
And that's why he deserved to get banned.
Well, he got banned. Well, one thing, he got banned and then he had the interview. But I just hated that article because it made that person look like a hero instead of the monster that he really was.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I mean, you know, that's the problem with these kind of rule breakers in general, is that people look up to them for some reason because they want to have that glory when that's absolutely wrong. Yeah. Another thing I remember, a bug that people might not be familiar with, is when Construction came out, there was this bug where you would randomly die in places, sudden death syndrome. This was back in the days when Brad Woodward was around, and he took this video of a guy at Tears of Guthix just randomly croaking and dying, level 99 hit points, and just fell dead. I think I still have the animated GIF of that somewhere.
That is a crazy glitch.
Yeah. Let's see. What else is there to remember? There's that. Yeah, duplication glitches. Those had happened in the past. I don't know.
Remember the black hole where rule breakers were sent?
Yes. Yes. That's why our archives forum got named the black hole.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. But that was only in RuneScape Classic. So.
Okay. Did we talk about duplication yet?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
So.
Alrighty.
I don't know if there's anything else memorable that I can think of at this time.
Memorable, like, well, infamously or?
Infamously.
Knife glitch. Remember that one? You remember that one, Kula? That was like way back when.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Basically, what happened way back in RSC when the game just started coming out, people who ended up carrying tons of knives in the inventory could actually hit very, very hard with like a bronze hatchet. And nobody understood.
Right. I remember that one now. Because bonus would stack on that. The strength bonus the range bonus would stack on that.
And so basically... you know, more or less, the person going a while and smack somebody in the head with a bronze and kill them and grab their stuff.
Do you remember the no clip glitch where some players could end up just walking through walls and getting into places where they weren't supposed to be?
Yes, yeah. And you know, they actually fix that nowadays. Previously, now if there's a square where there's supposed to be a wall or tree, and for some reason a player can walk into it, it will teleport them a few squares away if you walk into it.
Crazy.
Yeah, so we've been around a long time, so we have lots of glitches that we know about.
Interestingly enough, on the note of Falador Massacre, I was actually there right before it happened. My friend told me, hey, come on down, he's having a party. Okay, but I knew about the whole kicking people out and dying right away, so I three itemed. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, I think it's done because everybody leaving getting angry. Oh, okay. And then next thing I know, like, Falador Massacre! Oh my god, what the hell?
I remember the gender glitch as well, when players could have like the female body but then a male head, so they ended up having like beards and mustaches and like the set jawline, and then they'd have like the female body. That was pretty crazy.
Cross-dressing.
Yeah. Oh, and then if the NPCs, you know, in the dying animation where they kind of fall down, sometimes they do that once they spawned and they'd just be falling down and then they'd be kind of crawling around. That was kind of funny. And then if you killed them, they stood up and then they walked back down. It was so funny.
Oh, my. Well, you know, one day we should just do an episode that's all about these kind of things like that that happened in the past RuneScape or something. Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you for that question, Justar. That was a fun one. Anybody want to take this next one, or should I try my best at a Kiwi accent?
You can do it, Shane. I believe in you.
Hello, listeners of RSBNB. I'd like to start with a quick PSA. Yes, Sorensen and I have been slack on our audio questions recently, but that doesn't mean everyone else has to copy. Seriously, there was none last week. Zero. Let's also show Shane some love, which is also fitting since it will be right around Valentine's Day. It'd be great to see 10 or more audio questions for next week's show, especially all you people out there who have never sent one in before. Anyways, keeping with the romantic theme, I'd like to know what your first ever relationship was like, not including your mom's or RuneScape marriages. With much love, RRMan100XOXOXO.
I have to say, that was the worst New Zealand accent I've ever heard.
Yeah, you know, it only comes up sporadically, and if I try and do it, it sounds like a southern U.S. person sometimes.
Oh. I wouldn't mind.
I mean,
hearing.
You could say, with much love from RRMan100. Like, see, that's kind of like bordering on Texan Australian, I think.
No, that's
I
like
know
a,
what that was.
That's like a Canadian trying to sound like a Texan.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, see, I just think that there's such a distinct difference between the Texas accent and the Australian and the New Zealand accents, that doesn't make sense to confuse them all like that.
Yeah.
If it makes you if it makes you feel any sadder, whenever I get nervous, I start throwing in a crappy Indian accent. And I mean, Asian Indian, not Indian.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Oh. Okay, then. So, Shane, what was your first ever relationship like?
With the computer.
Well, to be fair, I never actually pursued any serious relationships in school or anything like that, because personally, I didn't see the point to it, because, some people are so young and some people are so stupid, and I don't see the point to it unless you're actually looking for long-term commitment with it. So I never really pursued that whole idea in school. And to me, it's a matter of whenever I'm ready to make a long-term commitment, that's when I will have a relationship.
Shane does not like fat chicks.
Oh.
Go left, go. Your turn.
No, it's your turn, because you talked first.
No, you.
That's the rule of the update.
Yep.
My first relationship. It was good until the end. That kind of sums up every relationship, doesn't it?
Kind of. Well, most every little relationship, at least.
And I'd just like to quote this one. I'd like to quote this person who is running in the U.S. presidential Republican Party.
Oh, God.
Back.
Mute.
Work, education, and marriage before children. So that's the list of priorities there. Anyway,
well, you'd have to find a job in that case. Well, I was pretty young and stupid, so I'm glad I got out of the relationship when I could. And needless to say, I'm a bit wiser now. So once I find the right person, I'll go into it and I'll know much more than I did before. That's for sure. You always have to have that one crazy first experience, I think, to kind of teach you and learn from things. So it was a pretty big learning experience, I'll have to say. And thank goodness I'm not still with her, because she is crazy.
Okay.
That's all I have to say about that.
Trekkie?
Yes, sir?
Trekkie already
answer?
Went. Trekkie
oh, he
already
did?
Went. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear what his answer was.
It was
busy looking up my quote.
It was good until the end.
Okay. Alrighty. Thank you, RR Man, for that one, then.
And it's good that people did send in audio questions this week.
A lot more questions than usual, too.
Trekkie, right. You want to take this next one?
All right, this is from Italy for Life. Hey, guys, what is the first game system and game you ever played on? How old were you? Thanks, Italy for Life. I think, can we safely assume all of us started with the Super Nintendo?
I got you beat. NES.
What, Atari?
NES. Yeah. Oh, yes, Atari. That's right, Atari. You're right. Thank you. But the first system I owned was the NES.
Because he's an Xbox and I'm a retire.
A what?
Oh, never mind.
Mm.
Tell me someone got that, though. Someone in listening.
No.
Well, not you. Not you. You would never get that one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my first one was Cross of Three, actually, because we kind of all got them around the same time. And, of course, it was my brother that originally got them, so he got to play them a bit more than I did. But Super Nintendo, as well as the original Game Boy, not even, like, the original, but
the white one?
But the one before the color one, the grayish one.
The white one.
Yeah. And, of course, the Mac computer, which back in the 90s, it actually had a fair number of games on it.
It still has games today.
Not as many. And not
you
not
can play
any
all the Valve games.
Not really many exclusives either.
Mm.
Not like back in the 90s, that's for sure. Like back then, every game was made for both systems. But anyway, that was my those were my first ones. I remember playing like Tetris and Contra and like Warcraft 2 and Super Mario World and the original classic ones. Oh, those were the days. I'm going to reminisce in nostalgia for the next 5 minutes now. Those were
all right, that's enough. All right, cool. You get the
first
last
gaming one. System.
Told you already. It's Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay. I'm not listening to you for some reason today on these last two questions. Whoopsies.
It's okay. I do it to you. You do it to me. We're even now. Super Nintendo, and the only game that came with it was Super Mario. So, yeah. I remember me and my sister, when we first got it, I was like, what the hell is this? It's a game. Oh, what? There's a game? We didn't even know what the hell it was when my mom and dad first bought it. And then we kept dying to the first Koopa shell. Like, how do we kill? Well, are we supposed to kill it? I remember asking my mom that, are we supposed to kill it? Cool.
And look where you ended up.
Is that good or bad?
That's good.
It's a good thing you're here with us. That's a good thing.
Okay, Kola, next one.
Next one is from One Tagarung One. After coming back to RuneScape after about a 8-month break and getting members, do you have any suggestions of what I can do? It seems that I've missed a lot of content, and I don't really know what to start with. I have low stats right now because I can't get a hold of my old account, so nothing too extreme. Well, I would suggest that you
could check out Dungeoneering.
Could check out Dungeoneering. You could do any quests that you haven't done. You could start off with some good old combat training or skilling.
Slayer.
Explore the new areas that have probably cropped up since the last time you were on.
Look at the pretty graphics updates.
Well, may I also say that since he is new, he might as well go on Taverly and do some recommendations. Give us a full rundown of what the hell he did next month.
I just followed this just to get extra points, and now I'm so bored because I did everything already.
Another thing you might want to do is start doing some farming. Because, you know, farming's a good skill to do, and it trains Herblore, and you can use it for other skills too, so... I mean, why not? It's a good thing to do, and you just start off with some allotments and work your way up. In a week, you can have level 60. So do that. So Slayer, farming, quests, dungeoneering. What else could he do? I don't know. I would really recommend doing some quests, actually. That's a good recommendation, whichever one of you guys said that, because the quests can kind of serve as a bit of a backstory to some of the skills, and you might find that after you do a certain quest, you like a skill. And that's what I found after I did the original Druidic Ritual quest way back when. I found that I really, really liked Herblore, and that became my second level 99.
Really?
So, moral of the story is you could do your favorite skill that you had back when you were back when you were playing. We all know what Shane's is, so you could always do that.
Yep. Any other suggestions before we move on to the last question?
Not really.
All right, last one is from Nomad. What are your favorite songs? Just short and sweet, just as all of you want. Thanks, 00, I'm Save 00, a.k.a. Nomad.
Oh, Kula.
Actually, Shane goes first because he read it. Rules of the show.
I really don't have many favorite songs. I find music most times annoying and just prefer my own thoughts in my head.
Friday, Saints to the Minor Friday.
You know, that's when somebody asks what day it is, and we do the show that day.
The problem is, Shane, is that you're the one who asks what day it is. And then you let us say it, and then you play the song. That's how it works.
To be fair, I haven't done that this year, and that was something we got rid of in 2012.
Yes, but that still probably was your favorite song.
No, I don't think so.
You did say you liked classical music and piano music and
But you know, I just find it as a distraction when I'm trying to get stuff done, and I just need silence. So.
And listen to the buzzing sound of his computer.
Actually, that is correct.
See? God, Shane, cool. You feel like every year Shane becomes more and more predictable?
Well, I think it's because we know him so well. And we've known him for a very long time, probably.
One of these days, Shane, when you get hitched, we're going to miss the old one.
Oh, the stories we shall tell.
Yes.
Okay. So, Kala, Paul, I mean Trekkie.
Oh, so you do like Paul.
I think he's just mixing you up today, Trekkie. Not listening to your answers, calling you by the wrong names.
you just show Paul that you actually care, Shane. That's sweet of you. Well, I'll tell Paul that. Don't worry. Let's go be on a cook show.
Okay.
Kula, go.
What about you, Trekkie?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I say one of my favorite songs is Here Without You by Three Doors Down.
Okay.
I like that song. And Kryptonite by the same group is. I like that one too.
Is that emo music?
No!
It's rock music, not emo music. Oh, Shane.
Shame, okay?
Okay.
My favorite, I'd have to say, is... I've actually mentioned this on the show like 3 or 4 months ago, but it's definitely M4 Part 2 by Fonz, and it's the last song that plays during the credits of Mass Effect 1. And I just love that song so much. I could never get tired of hearing it, I don't think. And it's... I honestly really like that. So if you want to check it out, you could go look it up on YouTube.
Or go play Mass Effect, which I need to go do again.
Yes, I'm actually doing it. I probably got through more of it yesterday than you did in a while.
One or two.
One, again. For the, like, 7th time.
You could be doing so much else with that time.
I probably could.
It's a shame that we cannot connect with each other. We can have some fun in Mass Effect 1.
Yeah, well, multiplayer comes out in Mass Effect 3, so if you want to overlook the origin only, we could have some fun there. Okay. I think I'm probably going to break down because I really want to play it.
Okay.
That should be fun.
Okay. So that's it for questions, and good job, everyone. Remember, if you want to send us audio questions, as RR Man wants you to as well, they can be sent to questions@rsbnb.com if you want to email them, or you can send them via Skype to the username rsbnbupdate like GT1551 did, or you can leave us a voicemail at the phone number, which is 571-572-2632. All right, alrighty, tech then. News. The Gmail man.
All right, Shane. Go for it.
This is a little video from Microsoft. The following scene represents the opposite experience of Office 365.
Same time, he peeks at every subject in unreal time. Probing every sentence and all your punctuation. Got his nose in every colon in every situation. He's the Gmail man.
Okay. Volcano. Oh, lava. Birthday. Thanks, polar bears.
Hey, mailman. Are you looking at our mail?
No. I'm looking at everyone's mail.
How can you do that?
Well, sometimes when a person really loves their Gmail very, very much, the two get together and an ad is born.
Ew. You can't do that, mailman.
Of course I can.
Yeah, so this is a video of Microsoft essentially declaring war on Gmail here because Microsoft doesn't like the fact that everybody's email is looked at by Google when they're looking for ads. So I think this is all out war between Hotmail and Gmail now. What do you guys think? The video goes on for another minute and 40 seconds.
Well, the one thing I don't like about Hotmail is when you use it with MSN, every time you click on a link that you or someone else send me, I have to, yes, I want to continue. I don't need that. I know what I'm clicking on. It's adding an extra step that's unneeded. It's like the your computer wants to, your program wants to run an application. Do you allow it? Duh.
Are you sure you want to click on this link?
Yes, I do. I know what it is.
But they need that for the less technical savvy people in our lives that we discussed in an earlier question.
Are you sure you want to turn your computer on? Are you sure you want to press this button on the keyboard?
Okay. What
where
do
does
you
it end?
Use, Gmail or something else?
Well, I have tons of email addresses across every platform, basically, but the one that I use that's been my main one for a very long time now is Yahoo, and I just haven't gotten rid of it because it would be a pain to transfer everything over.
I have two emails, Gmail for more professional settings and Yahoo for my send whatever the hell I feel like, and I don't care who it is.
Okay. I have multiple email accounts, and they all forward to my one Gmail account, and that Gmail account sends and receives everything. So I'm pretty much at the mercy of Google with this thing.
Yay.
But with that being said, I don't use the Gmail web client. I use Sparrow on OS X. So I'm kind of immune from the ads things, but still. I really don't see much of an issue with Google looking at keywords in emails. I mean, they're looking at them en masse, and it's not like they can, they're not looking specifically at what you're doing or where you're going. They're just looking at the words in them, and words by themselves are meaningless, I think. I mean, I just don't think it's that big of an issue.
I actually, one little thing about that, I remember a long time ago, one of my friends was telling me that, dude, this is like the weirdest thing ever. Like, why? What happened? All right. So for the past couple of days, I've been going online looking for ski helmets. Uh-huh. And then now whenever I go on my email, the ads are right there for looking for ski helmets. Like, really? And that's kind of scary.
Well, what's happening there is it's using a third-party cookie through Google. So they set this third-party cookie on you, then they can track you to all the other sites you go to and whatnot. Then they can base your ads off that. Google Ads, if you're logged into a Google account, there is actually a preference for what kind of ads you receive. So you can actually turn that off.
I block them, so I don't care.
Or you could do that, but I don't know. Personally, I don't think this is the right fight for Microsoft to be picking. because really, Hotmail against Gmail? I don't think so. But.
I'll just more or less this. Microsoft, you had your chance to really innovate Hotmail, and you didn't.
Yep, that is true. And, you know, if you look back, Gmail was so revolutionary when it first came out, and they keep still bringing out little features like that. And if you don't like the idea of everything you're being linked together, then don't use Google products. It's as simple as that. Google eventually is going to be all linked into one thing, Google Plus. Gmail will be the messaging component. Google Plus will be the chat component. YouTube will be the media component. And search will find you everything else on the internet.
It's Google's on!
Yep.
I wonder who knows what that is.
So.
All right.
Next
so,
up. Facebook's $5 billion IPO.
Facebook.
Does that make you feel any different about Facebook as a company?
No. They're still evil.
I think it'll make them more accountable.
Depends on what you mean by accountable, I guess.
Well, share price goes down. If people are not happy with the company and that somehow trickles down to the shareholders, share price will go down. Facebook will be forced to do something. At least that's the theory, I think. Unless the shareholders are just concerned about something else and they're not going to they're not going to listen to the signals sent by the community, which might end up happening.
Which almost always happens.
But you know, it seems like this is. Go ahead.
It seems like anytime Facebook sees like something that needs to be changed, it's not what the users want changed. It's what they seem to want changed, and then they change it around, and the users are like, "Ah, I don't like this. I have to get used to it." And then eventually, they do get used to it because they forget how much better it was before, and then it's just. They just get used to it, and then a new change comes along right when they've gotten used to it. So who knows? Yeah. Maybe there'll be less changes, or maybe there'll be more changes of what actually should be getting done. But we'll have to see.
You know what this means? You know what this means? You know what this means? The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yes, Mr. Ferengi.
I don't know where that came from, but that's okay.
Facepalm. Double facepalm.
Facebook.
For when one facepalm isn't enough, there is the double facepalm.
But.
Come on, Shane.
I don't know. Do you think a publicly held company is better than a private company for the users in the end?
Then again, won't you just be answering your shareholders?
Exactly.
It depends on who's actually running it, you know? You know, if you have really, really good directors and CEOs that actually know what the public wants, then sometimes a private company is good. But if they turn bad and it's all just about the money, then public is better. Right?
Yeah, I'm just not sure which is better for Facebook at this stage. The question is everybody, the answer is that everybody who started there is going to be multimillionaires, so I guess that's a good thing.
Thing is that Facebook has such a monopoly on the market. I mean, say what you want, Shane, but Google Plus doesn't even come close to what Facebook has achieved. And even MySpace and all of the other social networks, not even close. So,
and, also,
with such a huge monopoly, is this really going to change things?
No, probably not.
If there is user feedback and frustration with how things are going, will it really change them that much? I honestly don't think so. It's probably going to be more of the same.
And well, the thing I was trying to say was also that I take a look at the internet and everything is linked to either Facebook or Twitter. Even RuneScape is linked to Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's probably why some people got hacked.
Probably people use the same password on Twitter as RuneScape.
No, that is a possibility, but
even like half a year ago when I wasn't even using it, my Twitter account got hacked, and I had a pretty darn good password to it. And that was the first thing that I've ever had that has gotten hacked or something like that, you know? So that was pretty crazy.
Anyway,
so I don't really trust Twitter that much.
Well, out of the ones, which ones do you trust the most? Who do you trust the most?
Neither. They're all evil.
I don't think it's a matter of trust.
Google, Twitter, or Facebook. Which one do you trust the most?
Which one will give me more money?
Neither of them have really earned my trust. Trust is something to be earned, not given freely. And even when given a thing of three things, you know, if they haven't really shown you that much, then it's fair to say that I don't really trust any of them at the point in time.
I don't know. I trust Google. But
does Google make you money?
I'd probably trust them more than Facebook and Twitter, but that's not really saying much.
Exactly. There you go. But, I mean, would you... I trust Google with all my emails.
Mm.
Going back to 2004.
So what's your password for Google, Shane?
I can't tell you that.
All right. Let me check your recovery questions. Let me take a look.
I'm going to turn multi-factor authentication on after this episode is done recording here.
All right.
Anyways.
Let's head on to the next things.
Yay. Other things. February skill of the month.
Wow.
Yes, that is a pretty interesting looking graph.
That's the first time that's ever happened. What happened? Shane?
People didn't get XP, I guess, those few days, a few of them. But
that's so weird. That has never happened.
Is in first with 261,000 experience. Second is RRMan with 187,000 experience. And third place is Poison Nova with 183,000 experience. And RRMan and Poison Nova have increased their experience drastically between day one and day two. Whereas Takugai has maintained a steady no XP gain that day. So,
Wow. This is freaky. Never had any skill of the month kind of plateaued like this. Usually it goes up. One person keeps going up and up and up, and then like the rest are like, oh, screw it.
Well, that's what happened last month, because we got to review the January skill of the month.
Slayer.
Which was Slayer, and was won by Sorensen57, with 4.4 million Slayer XP gained in the month of January. Meanwhile, distant second was One Stone Pwn with 1.8 million, and third place was Jamie Sinee with 1.6. Adiv also got 1.6 as well. It's been a few busy days here on the skilling front, so definitely continue to keep watching that, and hope you guys competing in this month's skill of the month will continue.
Okie dokie.
Alrighty.
Moving on now to achievements of the week. Congratulations to Sorensen57, who got 99 range on February 1st, and Jay Mycini, who got 99 Slayer on January 31st. Oh, one day apart. So congratulations to you both. And, you know.
Oh, we don't need that fake clap anymore.
No, that's an actual clap.
Oh, God.
Congratulations to you both.
Yes, congratulations. Well done.
All right.
So, Kyle, I believe you have a pick for us.
I do have a pick, and it's a webcomic, actually, about video games, and it's called Awkward Zombie. It's maintained by a girl called Katie Tiedrick, and she writes one comic per week, and it's about any kind of games that are out there, though there are quite a bit about Zelda, I've seen. but there's a few by Skyrim, Fallout, Mass Effect. There's tons and tons of games. Basically, whatever game she plays that week, she ends up making a comic about it, which is kind of funny. And I actually personally quite like the comics, especially if I know the if I've played the games that are in, because most of the times, whatever happens in the comic is like basically a funny version of what actually happens in the game. So,
what's this one though?
This the one on the front page, the newest one that she has is from Fallout New Vegas. Is basically if you give any items to a character, sometimes they'll end up wearing the item even if you didn't really wanted them to. So this one's Arcade Ganon, and she's basically giving him items because you just like in Skyrim, you have. If you have player companions, they can hold things, and that way you can carry more to sell them to people to get more money so you can buy better things. So basically, she's passing it off to him, and then he ends up just starting to wear it. And she's like, I just need to, nah, I thought this is what you wanted. He ends up wearing a dress. And that does actually happen in the game sometimes. And the one from the previous week, if you click the back arrow, is the seahorse one, which is... You're trying to pick a lock in Skyrim, and you can get detected. And if it's just by the horse, sometimes the horse can actually call the guards, and the guards will take you away, which is kind of funny.
Horse can call the guards.
Yeah, the guards just end up showing up because the horse witnessed your crime. So chickens do that as well, apparently.
Really? They do in that game?
Yep. It's kind of funny, actually. A lot of neat little things that happen in games.
Okay, then.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Awkward zombie.
We'll take a...
Awkward.
Yeah.
Very, very awkward.
Awkward zombie. It's pretty funny. I like it.
Okay, next up, Informer Roundup time. As you know, it's the first week of the month. And what does that mean, usually, Cola?
First of the month means new articles, and it means that, what else does it mean?
Well, it means that the Informer Roundup was published, and all of the articles released in the last 4 weeks are up for review for your guys' consumption, and, you know, they do go up in the weeks leading to the Roundup, so you don't just need to wait for the Roundup to happen to read this, you can just do it whatever you want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But definitely take a read through them. I think we got a good batch this month at informer.rsvnb.com. And of course, always make sure you're watching for the upcoming articles that will be coming out this month. As I mentioned, I'm going to be doing something on lag and RuneScape from a technical point of view. And just how they might be able to fix it, maybe, if I can think that through. Also, just a reminder, as we mentioned in one of the previous questions, we'd like you all to take the winter survey. The winter survey that I mentioned earlier, because it'll help us determine what the demographic of the show is at this stage. So, just it's a few simple questions relating to your RuneScape status, how you get the show, where you listen to it, that kind of thing. And, of course, there's a little box where you can put your own comments in about what you like and what you don't like. So... please fill that out. We'd greatly appreciate that.
Yes, that would be very good.
So what have we been up to? Let's get Trekkie to go first this week.
Explore a little bit of Taverly. Did some fire making training and got level 50 in STO.
It's free?
Yep. Now,
it's
now,
waiting for you.
I know.
Yeah, Kula. Come on, Kula.
Your kingdom onto awaits.
The bandwagon. I can kick your ass with one torpedo.
Yeah, right.
What a bet.
I bet if I got up to level 15, I'd be able to kick your ass.
Okay.
It's on! Boom!
Anything else?
Fight.
From you, Frankie?
No, not on top of my head.
Okay. Kala?
as I've been doing for like the past 7-8 months or so, I've been working a lot, which means that I don't have too much time for anything else, but I've been attempting to play through my what would be referred to as the canonical playthrough of Mass Effect, so I could import that into Mass Effect 3 when it eventually comes out, waiting eagerly for the demo that's going to be released on Valentine's Day, so I will have a date that day. Woohoo! And...
okay.
Singles Awareness Day, after all. And what else have I been doing? Not really that much of anything. Listening to music here and there. Yeah. I live a pretty boring life, to be honest.
You know, you should donate to RSVNB, Kula.
I should one of these days, once I get my credit card back.
Use your debit card.
Yeah. Yeah, once I get some money. Once I get some saved up.
Well, if you guys are both done, I'll tell you what I've been doing this week. I don't know, did I say I got 85 summoning last week, or was that last week or this week?
No, you didn't say anything. You did not mention that.
Actually, I did mention it last week. So, anyways, for those of you guys who forgot, I did get 85 summoning back then. But this week, I've been... I did a few runs at the Glacers, but I determined I need 88 for summoning for that to get the Unicorn. But aside from that, I've been actually doing some crafting. So, I'm getting 86 crafting at the moment. Currently level 84. And, you know, quick. With 86 crafting, you can pot up to 89. So when this flask comes out, I'll be ready to go.
So, what are you using to train? Battle staff?
Yes, battle staffs. That's what I settled on because, you know, dragon hides are too expensive and your gold smithing method was just too slow. So, but aside from that, I actually took some time this week and implemented into the Grand Exchange portfolio system search bookmarking. So if you make a search on the Grand Exchange portfolios, you can type something in and then the URL will update and you can copy that link to somewhere, RuneWire, Twitter, send it to someone. And when that person clicks it, they'll actually be taken to that same result page. So that works extremely well if you want to share a certain search term with somebody, or if you just want to quickly look up prices, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, set up a quick search in Firefox or Chrome, and you're set.
Yay.
So that, a few other little changes here and there to the portfolio system, and work is progressing very good on my task list system. That's a little application I'm writing for OS X. That's been my week, pretty much. And last night I did see this question on Jeopardy. I will read it to you, or rather the answer. First up, my paper's not due till next week, so I blew off class to play this free MMORPG set in the fantasy world of Gilanor. Answer?
What is RuneScape?
Very good. And the person actually did get that right. They got $1,600. That was a $1,600 question. So.
Who did get that? Who did get that one right anyway? I'm curious.
I don't know. I don't know what the guy's name was. But
let me YouTube it. See if it's there. Jeopardy. Yeah, and... Oh, I think I see it.
So does anybody have anything else before we wrap this episode up?
Not particularly. I think it's pretty funny that it's mentioned on Jeopardy, though.
Yep. Well, I want to wrap this up then because by my count, we're 1 hour 44 minutes into the recording. So I broke the New Year's resolution because of the behind-the-scenes article, probably. But anyways, with that being said, we'll see you all next week. Have a good weekend, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.